The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, how you doing out there? It's me, Matt Slick. And today's a nice Friday. Hope you're having a good day. All right. Yeah, we've got a little bit behind schedule here, but hey, I'm okay. I know people are waiting for the thing to go live. There it is. And I hope you're all having a good Friday. I'm going to do some hate mail here a little bit. Now, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, and we can talk, all right? We've got five open lines, so I'm waiting on you. All right. Okay, so I've been working on this project. I've kind of been telling people about that a little bit. And I got it done, and I'm going to be releasing it today or tomorrow. So we'll see about that. It's a big, big thing I've been working on a table of like 130, 140 entries of comparing the Father and the Son and their interaction. And it's as simple as that. And, the reason is to deal with the issue of oneness Pentecostal stuff. Because I've been telling you, there's some bad stuff there. So, all right. Man, how about that? All right, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. So I think we'll just jump on. We'll just jump on the phones, and we'll get to, let's see, we'll get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Do you think the three evil spirits that look like frogs could be the graves of UFOs today? The reason why I'm asking, because they look a lot like frogs.
Okay, I got most of what you said, and you're making me smile, because I think it's an interesting...
the three evil spirits that came out of the mouth, the three evil spirits that look like frogs, do you think the graves that we have nowadays could be those, the UFO could be the one, those evil spirits?
Okay, it's one of the topics that, believe it or not, some people are discussing in Christian theology and Christian researchers on UFOs and things like that. Some wonder if there's going to be a demonic manifestation and if there would be Nephilim or what. As far as the frogs go, I don't think that that's going to be the case. And the reason I say that is because there are demonic forces that don't seem to be related to the Nephilim particularly. So, so, I don't know. You know, I don't think so, though. I don't think that's what's going to be. But it could be, but I just don't think so.
The only reason I'm saying that is because I was looking at the Discovery Channel, a little while ago, and they had these frogs on there, and they had the black eyes. The only thing that was different was that they had green skin, but they looked like those grays. They are UFO.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm hearing you, but I don't know what to tell you.
You don't think so?
Well, you know, I'm just saying it's a possibility. There are possibilities of things happening and different interpretations of things. Now, is it that? I don't know. I don't know if it is, but it might be. You know, there's some relationship, but I don't know. Okay? I mean, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
All right? You know, just something to think about.
I definitely always thought those manifestations are demonic. I believe that, but...
Well, you got to remember...
What are they
at? Yeah, in Revelation there it talks about three unclean spirits, and the UFOs would be more than three, so I don't think they're connected that way. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you anyway.
All right. Enjoy the call, though.
Yeah,
good stuff. You too, Ralph. God bless, man. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, and we can talk. All you do is give me a call. We have four open lines, so let's jump on the line with Brandon from Utah. Brandon, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. Just curious your thoughts and comments on TV series like The Chosen or just other series that depict the life of Christ, and just any thoughts you had about the value of those and anything else. Thanks.
Well, I think The Chosen, my wife and I are watching it. I don't know if it's still going on. We haven't watched it for a couple of months. But I was enjoying it. I thought it was well done. And I thought they depicted things pretty accurately, not perfectly. I don't particularly have a problem with the lack of perfection, as long as it's not heretical in there. And I like the idea of Christ being promoted on TV. I think it's a good thing that Christ be promoted. So I'm good with that. You know, I would rather see him talked about and known. I would like to see that more and more. And that's okay. You know, it's all right.
All right, good. Thanks.
Oh, that's it? All right, man. Okay. Hey, folks, you want to give me a call? All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And, wow. All right. So, you know what? On Fridays, what we do here a lot of times is do some hate mail. And since you have nobody waiting right now online, I was thinking that what I'll do is do that. Some hate mail might be fun, might be interesting, might be enjoyable. So, here we go. I'm going to get to, get some of this stuff. Here we go. Where is it? There we go. So I'm going to read some hate mail. And I like hate mail. And if you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Oh, my goodness. Wow, I can't read that one on the air. To fake Pastor Matt, and then, wow. Okay, wow. Wow, I cannot even repeat what... it's interesting how people are so vitriolic. Wow. Okay. So anyway, let's go into this one now. All right. How about... I want to thank you for compiling the Dictionary of False Terms. Thanks to your extensive research on Mormonism, I was able to find much-needed quotations. That's right, I read that one last week. Well, we must have a lot of duplicates in here. Let's see. I'm always looking for the good stuff. So I read your conversation with Alex about whether or not it's possible for a man to see God. It was amusing to say the least. I do feel, however, that my 10-year-old Mormon nephew could have had a more intelligent debate with you. It's funny that whenever I read any anti-Mormon literature that is a supposed communication between the accuser and the Mormon always seemed to struggle spewing vain justifications to convey his beliefs. That conversation was pathetic and a thorough deception to those who think that this guy and his arguments are the best a Mormon could set forth. Well, I never said that it was the best that Mormonism could put forth, but, you know, since we're talking about this... if any Mormon wants to call me up and we can arrange a debate, I'd be glad to have a formal debate. We can set it up on the validity of Mormonism, who Joseph Smith was. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. It would not bother me at all. I would like to do that. Get your best Mormon apologist. Let's talk. I mean, I know the show goes out into Salt Lake City, and I know that a lot of Mormons are listening to me right now. I'd be glad to have a debate with them. Get your best guy. It'd be fun. I would do it. But, you know, that's not going to happen, I know. Oh, too bad, because I would like that. I would really enjoy that. I would. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Natalie from North Carolina, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi. So I'm kind of piggybacking off of the other question of the guy that asked about The Chosen and whether, you know, what your thoughts were on that. I've also heard people say that this might not be a good thing just because from their perspective, it violates, like, the First Commandment because it's creating, like, an image of God, and it could, and pretty much, like, the depiction of Jesus on that show is somebody else's. When they read the Bible, that's their perception of Jesus versus, you know, when we read the Bible. So they say that it could be dangerous in the sense of, like, if people don't really read the Bible for themselves, they're internalizing someone else's perception of Jesus.
Yeah, I hear that. When it talks about not making a pagan an idol, it says that you would bow down before it. And I understand the risk of the idea of visualizing Jesus the way that an individual might look. I don't know of any Christians who do that. I don't know of any Christians who take an actor and then visualize the actor as someone they're praying to. I just don't.
Well, not the look itself, but like the character, like the characteristics and everything. Because it's like for instance, in other shows, a lot of times they make Jesus out to be very like solemn and serious. And then, you know, the big thing about The Chosen is that they make him very personable, in character and personality. So that's what I've heard. I just wanted to see what your perspective, if you thought that it violated, like, the First Commandment.
No, I don't think it violates the First Commandment. I've watched many shows where they've depicted Jesus and had different personality traits represented. I would much rather that films be produced about Christ than not. I'd rather people hear and see what Christ went through, how the scriptures depict it. I would rather that happen than not. And I understand the position that people would say, you know, the characteristics of his habits might not be perfect. I don't see that as a violation of scripture. I don't see it as a violation of the commandment to not make a graven image that you bow down before it. So I understand that, you know, concern, but I don't see any problem with it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Well, God bless. Okay, we have 5 open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. And, okay, yeah, we're doing the audio thing here. We're having a little bit of a problem with that, apparently, and that's just the way that goes. We'll work on that a little bit, too. Okay, break's coming up. We have 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. Wow, oh, man, what a day. All right, why don't we just jump on the line here. Let's get to whoever this... Welcome. You're on here. You got to turn your radio down. All right, there you go. Oh, hey, yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, man. I was also calling about The Chosen. My question was, did you know that the showrunners are Mormon?
I've heard that there's a Mormon connection. Yes, I've heard that. They use some of the facilities in Utah. Yes, I have heard that. But, hey, we got a break, so hold on. Let's talk some more about this, okay? And we'll be right back, folks, after these messages. 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. 2 open lines, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get back to, well, I forgot his name, but you're back on the air. Welcome.
Hey.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. All right. So, the issue about the Mormons and with the movie or the series of Chosen, right?
Yes, sir. So you're talking about the facility they're using the Mormons.
Yeah.
Forgot what it's called, but yeah, they got approval from the, one of the Mormon apostles, I guess they're called, the higher up guys, to use their facility to the set. Yeah, that's what it's called. And they were able to do that because the Angel Studios is owned by Mormons. And they have said that they're committed to being hands-off as far as creative license, that they're giving the director all the creative license. So supposedly there's no Mormon influence, but the executive producer is also Mormon. And Dallas Jenkins, the director, is on record as saying that the, his Mormon brothers, he calls them brothers and sisters, and he's on record as saying that they worship the same Jesus.
Yeah, that's a mistake. Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, if I was the one in producing this thing, or it was my idea, and I had an opportunity to use the Mormons' facility, I'd say, sorry, we're not going to do it. And if it doesn't get done, it doesn't. Mormons are not Christians, and they teach a false God, false Christ, false gospel. And the producer guy, if he says they're Christians, he doesn't know. He doesn't understand what's going on, because they're not. So it's a serious problem, and it is. So it is an issue. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I was enjoying the show until I learned that back, and you know, I'm not sure if I want to continue watching now.
Yeah, if you know, it's, see, there's a gray area, and we got to be careful not to to step too far into the gray area in order to get things done. But you know, we do business with companies that aren't that good. We might go to Costco or Home Depot or whatever it is, and they can support some bad stuff. So do we support them or not? Do we go to them or not? Do we, you know, how far do we take this? I'm not saying we just don't care anymore. No, we got to. Something as serious as this, I think it's a shame that a Christian group would work with Mormons to produce something about it. Because it's, you know, the Mormonism is just not Christian at all. And it's bad news. So it's a problem. I would agree with you. It's a huge problem.
Yeah, I just want to know what your thoughts on that were, because, I mean, if,
it's a problem.
I don't know what Dallas Jenkins' theology is, but obviously, if, you know, he's confused about, you know, this very obvious fact that they're not Christians. Then,
yeah, he doesn't know.
What can we expect out of the show?
That's it. I've watched several of the episodes. They've seemed to be quite good and accurate. And so that's good. That's a good aspect of it. And the idea of Christ being portrayed that way, I think, is fine. Unfortunately, it has to be done with the Mormon Church. And it's just very disturbing. It is. It's a very disturbing reality. I just wish it wasn't the case. Me, I could never do it. I could not work with Mormons or Roman Catholics, you know, or Jehovah's Witnesses in a business venture or something like that about the true and living God. It just wouldn't happen. So, and, you know, that's me. Okay? That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about is the way they depicted him preparing for the Sermon on the Mount, almost as if he needed input from some of the disciples to craft it?
Well, I don't know if that was, needed input. I remember seeing that. So the thing is, how far do we go? Jesus had to walk. He had to talk. He ate. He had to use the restroom. He got tired. So did he ask for input? Well, the Bible doesn't say anything like that. Would it mean that he couldn't have input? I'm not saying that is or isn't the case, but it does not seem likely that he, God in flesh, would need input from the disciples who didn't fully understand who he was and what he was doing. So I could see the possibility of him asking the disciples questions in order to include them, but he already knows the answers. So I could see that as a human psychological phenomenon that is possible. But how far are we going to take it? I just don't know. And so me, I would say, is just stick to the scriptures as closely as possible. It doesn't say that he consulted the disciples to help on a sermon. So don't do it. That's it.
Yeah, hopefully they stay as close to the scriptures as they can.
That's it.
So that they'll be faithful to Christ.
That's right. And yet, at the same time, I'm glad that they're seeing him. People are getting exposed to who Christ is. And it's, for the most part, pretty biblical. So for that, I rejoice. Now, that's a tough one. It is. Okay.
All right, well, I appreciate your thoughts.
All right, brother. God bless, man. Okay. All right, let's get on the phone with Dave from North Carolina. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Genesis 3:15, when it talks about the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman, mm-hmm. can you explain to me who those seeds are?
Yeah, but enmities between you and the woman, between your seed, that's the descendants and those who are evil, and the seed of the woman is Jesus. Okay.
All right, now when you say the seed of the woman being Jesus, does that reflect any of his elect as being seed?
No, the seed is singular. Between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. It's in the singular. It's not about the elect. It's about the individual of Christ.
Okay.
And I know about this because the Roman Catholic Church will assert that the ones who who crushed the serpent, let's just say, was Mary. Yeah, they say that.
All right. Is the seed the same meaning in the New Testament when it said that the wicked went out and sowed into the field at night?
No.
And the tares came up? Is that the same reference of seed, or is it a different?
Actually, you know, the first one, we could draw parallel because they are the children of the evil one, the offspring of the evil one. And I think we could draw a connection between them and that context that way. Hey, hold on, we got a break, okay, buddy? Hold on, this is good stuff. Hey, folks, we have one open line if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. All right, let's get back on with Dave from North Carolina. Dave, you're back on the air.
Yes.
So that's a good comparison between your seed and your seed and her seed, between the descendants, so to speak, spiritual descendants of Satan, the wicked. That's interesting. I never thought about combining it with the idea of Matthew 13. With the seed. I think I'm going to think about that some more, but I think you're onto something there. I think there is a relationship there.
Oh, good. Yeah, and as I understand what you're saying about Genesis 3:15, when we talk about seed being singular as being just Jesus,
yeah,
the word seed would be singular, Jesus only. But
right.
We see
in
Matthew 13, we see a multitude of seed, the wheat and the tare.
Yes, but you see, in Genesis 3:15, between your seed and her seed, yours is plural in that it's going to be for everybody. And the descendants, or those who are represented as being evil, demonic, the wicked people, and her seed. And it says, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on his heel. So that her seed is universally, from what I've seen in commentaries, and I look at it and I agree, is that her seed is singular in the person of Christ. But the previous seed in Genesis 3:15 definitely looks like the plurality, and it may be connected there with the Matthew 13. I think I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you consider the tares in Matthew 13 are all those who reject Christ?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Is that someone who just looks like a Christian that's not?
Well, yeah, because early on you can't tell the difference between the wheat and the tares until they mature, and then you know what's real and what's not, what's good and bad. And that's the idea. He says, don't tear up the tares, lest you tear up the wheat also. And that's what he's saying. You can't tell the difference. So wait. So that's what's going on there. So, yeah, I forgot your question, actually. I was thinking about that because I was remembering some stuff related to that. So, at any rate, yeah, in Matthew 13, the seeds are the sons of the evil one, and an enemy has done this. So, you know, might be onto something there with related to Genesis 3:15. Okay.
Okay.
All right, man.
All right. Well, thank you, brother.
All right, brother. God bless. All right. Let's get to the next longest waiting person. I think that is Paul, and we lost Paul. Now the next one after that is Mark from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mark, welcome. You're on the air. Hello?
Mark. Hello?
Hello. Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It's Lawrence, actually. And okay. I wanted to ask you, actually, I've been in a conversation with a person about you can lose your salvation. And okay. Let me turn that you can lose your salvation, and also that salvation comes with works and faith. And we've come to a standstill, and he wants to, you know, he really believes his point, and he's open to debate. And I hear you say that you're open to debate. I was wondering, would you be open to debating this individual on those two points at some point if we could arrange that?
I'm open to having
Donahue. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but
Who? What's his name?
Hello?
Yes. What's his name? I didn't get
Patrick. Patrick Donahue.
Yeah, I've not heard the name. I like to debate people, and I don't have any problem debating that topic as long as I know a little bit about the person, as long as he's not some wacko, and it's a nice formal debate set up, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and just some guy off the street kind of a thing. Not to belittle people, but you know, I want to be able to have a meaningful dialogue. So if he wants to contact me or stuff, that we can check things out, you know. What church does this guy go to?
That's a great question. Now, we haven't discussed churches, but he's well versed in the scripture, because I've gone through a lot of scripture. He's thrown a lot of scripture at me that prove that he says that you have to obey plus faith, you know, or you know, if you always ask for forgiveness, you know, you're doomed to hell if you, you know, continually ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, he's a false teacher. Yeah, flat out. Yeah, you got to continually do this, continually to do that. You got to keep your salvation by your works. He doesn't understand the gospel.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
So I should have him call this number and just get in touch with your team?
You can email us, or you can call me on the show Monday, and we can talk. You know, even today if we
get... Okay, what's a good email?
Info.
What's a good email for you?
info@carm.org. info@carm, carm.org. Yeah, I debate people on different topics.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay.
Sure. I will do that. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get, I guess, back to Brandon from Utah. Brandon, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I hate to bring it back to the chosen topic, but I like the topic, so I wanted to allude back to an earlier caller. Matt, I think I want to challenge this idea of this anti-Mormon sentiment where I feel like we throw the baby out with the bathwater, whether it's the chosen or anything else. It seems to me like it's very selective judgment there where, you know, would you rather have this TV series of Jesus Christ be on Netflix or Amazon Prime instead of Angel Studios because they happen to have some Mormons in the in the operations of the business. And then you get into, you know, who made the costumes for this and who made the lighting and the video cameras and who are they? And, you know, where do you draw that line? And it just seems a little bit nitpicky to me to be so concerned about that they're using a studio that has some of these people in it. And maybe a set that's a wonderful set.
Can I ask you a question here? Are you a Mormon? Are you Mormon?
Yeah, you said caught red-handed, right?
Okay. Okay. So you're Mormon, right? I'm just asking.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. So you have a point in that. You know, how far do we take it? And that's a question. And different people have to weigh the circumstances before God, the true God, and take counsel before they decide to take action. And there's never going to be a way to satisfy every individual. It's just not going to happen. And so, me, I could never work with, if I were developing a film set about Jesus and Mormons wanted to get involved, I'd say, I'm sorry, not doing that, because they're not Christians.
But what, don't you think Jesus spoke in venues owned by non-believers or amongst people? You know, I almost feel like you're at risk of missing a message if you're so concerned about the environment.
Hold on. Okay, it's, you're not hearing me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, you're not the same as those who don't believe, so don't join yourselves to them. Good and evil don't belong together. Light and darkness cannot share the same room. Mormonism is not Christian. Okay, flat out, it's not Christian. You think it is. Mormons think they're Christians, but what the reality is that if you die in Mormonism, believing Mormonism, you're going to go straight to hell. This is eternal damnation, and it's like an axe waiting over your neck, and nothing but the grace of God keeps it from falling, and he still lets you have breath and heartbeat as you believe in a false God that came from another planet. And he has a goddess wife, and he has relations with her, and makes spirit babies that inhabit human bodies, and secret handshakes, secret hugs, and good works get you to heaven. This is blasphemy, and it's what Joseph Smith, that false prophet, taught. So, how far should we, as true Christians, work with unbelievers who teach a false God and a false gospel? And the answer is, we should not. Okay, we should not.
So, I understand your argument. Against Mormonism, and I feel like that's a valid topic of discussion. But what I'm discussing is more just should we not participate in the operation of life amongst people who have different beliefs? I understand
you're not hearing me. I already said it's already a difficult issue, and that different people have to weigh different circumstances at different times. I can't give you, hey, here's the right answer for every single circumstance. I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I can only tell you, if someone said, here, Matt, here's $10 million, do a film on Jesus, and then the Mormons call me up and say, hey, you want to use our facility? I say, nope. Don't want anything to do with Mormonism when it comes to the true and living God and depicting the true and living God. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want them. Now, if we happen to have, you know, a Mormon delivery truck driver brings in some set we're building in some place, okay, I'm going to witness to him. Hey, stay for lunch, you know, and we'll talk, you know, if he's open to it. But I'm not going to go, you know, sign a contract with Mormons.
No one can answer that. Because, it just feels kind of unfair. Like, maybe this radio station has someone.
No, you don't understand. There's a lot going on. I know a lot about this over there. Anyway, but thanks for calling, okay, Brennan? All right, there's a break. Sorry about that. Hey, four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. All right, four open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to, Leon from Utah. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt, for having me. I had a question. My question is Matthew 10:35. What does the Lord mean by, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law?
Right.
What is that? what does that mean?
Okay, you're hard to understand, but I am able to understand your question, just to let you know. It's like you're in a speaker in a big room or something.
Go ahead. Is that better?
I don't know. We'll find out. So what he's talking about here is he says he didn't come to bring peace but a sword. It said his father against the mother and the son and things like that. It's because of who he is. That a mom might not approve of the son's choice to follow Christ. What if you have, like I was just talking about Mormons. Let's say you have a Mormon family and where one of the children becomes a real Christian and follows a true God. Well, then their family is going to now be divided. And this is what he's talking about. Following him is more important than following even your family members. That's what he's saying there.
Oh.
By comparison.
Okay, right.
And he's not saying don't love your mom and dad and your family. He's not saying that.
Right.
He's saying he's more important. That's what the issue is. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome very much. Well, God bless.
Have a blessed
day. Okay. All right, five open lines, wide open. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, since we have nobody waiting, I'm going to jump right onto some hate mail. Let's see if we can find some good stuff and have some fun. I enjoy it. I've been doing this ministry for 26 years. Come October, it'll be 27 years. And we've been doing apologetics since 1980. So, wow. And I've had so many people over the years attack what I do. I've had Satanists attack. I've had atheists. I've had some Mormons. Not Mormons, you know, that doesn't really represent Mormonism. But I've had Mormons attack. I've had people who have claimed to be Trinitarian Christians and attacked and been very problematic. I've had all kinds of stuff. Pilakia is the word. It's a Hawaiian word. Big trouble. And so I expect a lot of a lot of hate mail. I expect a lot of crud from people, and I do get it. And here's some hate mail. I'm just going to read this. I haven't checked this out, so I'm going to see how it goes. Ha, 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 ha. A wise guy, huh? LOL. It says, I run his right arm ministries, and I'm leaving out some of the lost books. What troubles me is that they may negate the triune one by bringing in a mother goddess. See, people need to make sense when they're complaining about something, you know? They need to, you know, think, well, what are you saying? What are you talking about? So they're just jumping right in. They got to do that, okay? And so, you know, it's about the lost books. And this person goes on, the supposed lost books of the Bible, as if people, this is what gets me. You know, the Christian church knew what it was, what the books were from. And where they were, and which ones belong in the canon, which ones they recognize as part of the canon. And people today, you know, people today, they're not trained. They don't have any training in this stuff. They don't understand archaeology. They don't understand historicity. They haven't studied this stuff. And then they tell me what books belong in the Bible. And it's just like, come on. But I do get this every now and then. So, you shouldn't remember me. You wouldn't remember me, but I did write years ago, are you mad on me now because I've had two emails sent to you and have had to consider and I've had to consider more than one question from me when you only allow one? Laugh out loud. Should I get a lawyer or something? Or can we do a 70 times 7 here? It's like, man, you know, it's just so anyway, it's we get a lot of emails, obviously, and we just like to say, you know, please just do one question per email is good. I've literally had people they'll actually cut and paste a list of questions from different websites and say, go ahead, what about this? And then, you know, you just delete it, and then they'll call back or they'll write later, oh, you couldn't handle it, could you? It's like, wow, you know, have you heard of the website, carm.org? There it is. It's sitting right there. All you got to do is check it out. So, I don't know. So we get some interesting stuff there. Hey, five open lines, 877-207-2276. Okay, here's another one. Now, this is how you start off an insult hate mail, okay? You are a coward, Matt. See? Right to the point, okay? You're right there. Now, that's the way to do it, okay? I have reported you on Facebook, as did others, and this will continue. For your information, you had so-and-so asking me some questions on Facebook, and as I was answering and asking specific ones, you turned me off. I have no idea what the person's talking about. You turned me off while he kept on asking so people would assume I have no answers. Trust me, you are a coward. You have no answers. Just fantasies. Really? Well, I can see it's Rob wrote that. So, yeah, see, it's a guy. I think guys are better at insulting. I'm going to get in trouble. I think the guys are better at insulting than the girls. The guys get right to the point, you know, and I like that. Just get right to the point, okay? You're a coward. Okay. There you go. See, I like that. That's good stuff, okay? Got right to the point. There you go. I hope some women don't get mad at me. Yeah, we're better at insulting than men are. Call up and defend it. Let's see. Okay. This is from a while back. Hey, I've listened to your interview with Paul Young. He's the guy who wrote that heretical book, The Shack. Yes, folks, it was full of heresies. And I met him, talked to him on the radio once, and he ended the interview early when he found out I had difficult questions. And then I met him in person and I said, hey, why don't we have a little debate on it? He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. But so anyway, he says, I listened to your interview with him and have been to Karm's site and I have many concerns. First of all, man, you hurt my faith and relationship with the Lord. If I hurt your faith and relationship with the Lord by exposing a heresy book, you got problems. All right. You have created this image of the Lord being totally unapproachable and a God that rules with a baseball bat while ready to strike anyone who falls short. That's not what I do. Oh, come on. I guess when people like these books, you know, like The Shack, and I haven't talked about that for quite a while, actually. This is obviously it's an old email. They get mixed in every now and then. So, you know, when I expose, they say, this is not how it works. You shouldn't be doing like this. I'm not saying we can't be, you know, have the Lord be approachable. Of course we can. We go through Jesus Christ. He wants us to. We have fellowship and intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. I teach people that. That's what we're doing. So anyway, he says, I can understand where you're coming from, but I also understand his approach, and I feel his approach is needed in a world because people don't understand what Jesus died for. That Jesus died for our sins, and that he bore all of our sins on the cross so that we can be saved from our sin. Well, yeah, we agree with that. You know, for the most part, yeah. Except that that's not what the issue is. The issue is not that. The issue is dealing with that heresy book, The Shack. And it's got heresy in it. In fact, I'm opening up my old article on it. Let's see. Well, let's see where some of this stuff in there. I think there's some stuff like it. Let's see. On that book. Instead of describing God as a majestic supreme being, the Shack dumbs him down and reshapes into a feel-good figure. God the Father, who, according to the Bible, cannot be seen, John 6:46 and 1 Timothy 6:16, appears in the form of an African-American woman named Papa, page 86. Who has scars on his wrists, and that's wrong. That's called patripassianism. So you don't have the Father having scars on his wrists. He wasn't one crucified. You can't see the Father. You know, he's just violating Scripture. Now people say, well, no, it's just an illustration. Well, then illustrate it with truth. Then don't violate Scripture. If the Bible says the Father dwells in the unapproachable light whom no man has seen, then don't contradict Scripture. That's all. You don't have a, you know, write a fiction book? You do it, you know, between you and God, but don't violate Scripture. Jesus was presented as a Middle Easterner wearing a plaid shirt and rolled up sleeves. The Holy Spirit appears as an Asian woman. So, you know, this is, how far do you want to take this? You know, how far do you want to go and take on this? Within his pages, you'll find other false doctrines. On page 124, you'll see the denial of a hierarchy within the Trinity. Remember, the Father sent the Son, not the other way around. On page 136, Young presents the humanist philosophy that good and evil do not have any actual existence, and contrasts us with Luke 18:18, and etc. On pages 145, 146, God wants... I remember that. God wants to be submitted to Mac, that's the main character, so he can join us in our circle of relationship. Because I remember that. It was one of the ones that really bugged the bejeebers out of me. Why would you want to submit to me, Mac says. And then, you know, God the Father, who's an African American woman, says, "Well, we want to be submitted to you, so you can join us in our circle of relationship." I mean, you know, that's just heresy. It's just ridiculous. So that we can join in our circle of relationship. That's why we're going to be submitted to you. God says that. That's not the God of the Bible. I'm sorry, it's not. On page 225, the heresy of universalism is taught when we find the African-American woman who is God the Father says, quote, "In Jesus, I have forgiven all humans for their sins against me, but only some choose relationship." So that's universalism, and that's another heresy. So, you know, the book just went on and on and on, and it's a heresy fest. And I wrote a couple articles on it, did some seminars on it. And, yeah. Oh, yeah. And in the book, check this out, on page 205, "My words are alive and dynamic, full of life and possibility. Yours are dead, full of law and fear and judgment." That's what God says, okay? And God continues and says, "That is why you won't find the word responsibility in the scriptures." So, really? You won't find the word responsibility? So I found it in the NASB 4 times, and the NIV 13 times. It's just like, man. Any rate, folks, for those of you who read that book and you thought it was great, go to CARM and read up on why it was so bad. It was full of heresies. And it was. It's unfortunate. I wasn't looking for heresies. It's like, I got to read this. Everybody's reading it. And I'm like, what? What are you saying? It can't be true. Please, it's not true. And anyway, bad stuff, bad stuff. Now, I hope you all have a good weekend. And I'm going to rebuild my computer this weekend and hopefully get some of the sound problems that we've been having, not over the airwaves, but over the internet waves, as we've been doing stuff inside of Facebook and YouTube. So I'm going to let you guys know, I'll be working on that. Good thing I'm an ex-computer tech and I can do all that kind of stuff. So praise God. All right, the music's going to start. I hope you have a good weekend. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on the air on Monday. And we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. We'll see you.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.